Please stand now as we read our scripture text that comes to us today from Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Hear now God's holy and inspired word. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we desperately need your word and be reminded of this precious and ageless truth. We thank you that we have Psalm 23 and can read about who you are to us and who we are to you. And we thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he is our shepherd. May you give us hearts to hear, ears to hear, and eyes to see, and open our hearts for your wonderful truths. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What a fitting scripture text for this evening. Psalm 23 is without a doubt the most familiar psalm in this book. And like an old friend, many of us have known it from or since childhood. As Pastor Eric mentioned this morning, every seasoned Christian, every seasoned saint can recite this psalm. It is a psalm that we want to hear when our bodies are failing, and it is a psalm that we welcome from our hospital beds. We lean on it when we stand at the grave, and we circle back to it when we are stricken with grief, or we are just going through a very difficult time or phase in our life. And we depend on it because of the words it gives us. It strengthens us to go forward, and it equips and refreshes our faith. However, as with an old friend, so often we take it for granted and we forget to appreciate it. We know where to find it, and we know the words, but so often we don't think about it and we don't value it as we ought to. And this is my goal today, that we tonight revisit Psalm 23 and think about it and be reminded again what a great privilege it is to be a Christian, a sheep that is led by a great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so as we come to Psalm 23, we see how David starts out right from the off the bat. He gives his confession and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And these words, they are so dear to us. Every believer can take these words upon their lips and confess together with David, "The Lord is my shepherd." And yet sometimes it sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? We say it so often, or we hear it so often. The question is, do we really trust in that? Do we really believe that and live accordingly? The theme of a shepherd is very common in Scripture. The picture of the Lord as our shepherd, and it is very common to David, who himself was a shepherd and was shepherding his father's flock. And every body around this time, they would know what it means to be a shepherd and to shepherd a flock of sheep. And it is something that describes God so wonderfully to us. The Bible gives many names, many great names to God. It describes him as our refuge, as our strength, our rock, our fortress, our shield, our hope, our comfort, our savior, our king, and so on. And all these names are great and true. But with the word shepherd, with this title, it brings all of it together. And it is comprehended in this one word. He is our shepherd. And Luther said some of the names which we find in Scripture gives God's Scripture gives God sounds almost too splendid, almost too majestic, and it once arouses awe and fear when we hear them. When we hear God as our Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, this is a wonderful name. It's a majestic name. But when we hear the Lord is our Shepherd, this has a tender sound to it. It is friendly. It is beautiful, and it is comforting. It is one of the most beautiful and comforting metaphors in Scripture. And he says, that Creator God is my personal caregiver. Just think about it. He knows me by name, and he knows my needs, and he knows my character, and he knows also my frailties and also my sins and failures. And yet he is my shepherd, and he's not only a shepherd or the shepherd, he is my shepherd. He calls the Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, his very own caregiver, his very own shepherd. It is an intimate relationship. He is my shepherd who takes care of me. He will feed me, he will protect me, he will preserve me from misfortune. He will care for me, and he will help me out of all troubles and comfort me and strengthen me. This Lord who is almighty knows my name and cares for me. And this was what David says here, that Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, says just as much about David as it does about God, doesn't it? Think about it. Don't forget that David was a king. And he perhaps or most likely wrote this psalm at the end of his life, and he looks back at his life and he describes himself as a sheep. This is a very humble description. This is not really flattering. Think about it, the kids among us, if you would think about an animal that would describe you best, what would you choose? I thought about it. I still think about it sometimes. And for me, no doubt, it is either a bear or a lion for obvious reasons. Strong and powerful and majestic. Maybe you think the little girls are, or even grown-ups think about they would be like to be a horse or something. Maybe elegant and fast. Yeah, I don't know. But David, he looks back and he says, I am a sheep. It would make sense if he would call himself a lion. He was the king of Israel. He was a leader. But he says, I am a sheep. Not strong. Not strong, but weak. Not smart, but foolish. Not brave, but timid. In utterly need and utterly dependent on my shepherd. This is a humble spirit who knows who he is and who knows what he needs and who God is. There's a poem from William Ernest Henley, an English poet. I'm sure you know the poem when I read it to you. And And he thinks about life just as much about, just very similar to what David did here in this psalm. He thinks about all the troubles and hardships in life, and he concludes his poem by saying, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. You heard that phrase, I trust. But this rings quite different from what David says, doesn't it? I am the captain of my fate. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. David says, you, O Lord, restores my soul. I was sitting actually this morning in the nursery for a little bit, and I saw, I forgot to check, but there's a poster on the wall, and it says something about always believe you can do it, or something like that. And maybe it's a nice idea behind it, but I'm still going to use it to make a point. I mean, that's a preschool classroom, and the idea is to say to a four or five-year-old child, you can do it. Always believe you can. I mean, what can a little child really do? Within a week, it left alone, it would die. But this is the main idea. This is the mindset of our world today, isn't it? I can do it. I'm the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. David, instead of asserting his own control, believes that the greatest comfort is to know that we are under the care of a shepherd who leads us. It is a shepherd that knows exactly what we need. And if God is our shepherd and I'm his sheep, then I'm very well supplied, both in body and soul. And so he concludes in verse 1, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Not because I have this and that, or life is well, or I am healthy, but because the Lord is my shepherd. This is the foundation of the psalm. This is the frame of the psalm. And everything else flows out of this confession, out of this statement. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But David, and this psalm really is like the entirety of the Christian life. He starts with Christ, and then he speaks about different scenes. And he comes here to this beautiful scene of a sheep feeding on green pastures. There's no better place for a sheep than this. And generally speaking, every Christian life begins like that, doesn't it? You hear the gospel and you trust in Christ and life is good, and you could hug everybody around you and tell him about Christ. Things are good and you enjoy life. Just recently, I came home just recently from class, and my wife was watching the kids and they were playing, and no fights, nothing. And it was just a nice day. And my wife said to me, my heart is full. And I didn't know how to react. I actually had to laugh and said, who talks like that? I mean, granted, we live in California, but we're still German, so. But there are days like that, aren't they? Where we enjoy life and the green pastures and fresh water. And yet our tendency as we read, or at least mine was, when I read verse 2 and 3 and about green pastures and still waters, I was thinking about a beautiful life. But this is not the priority. This is not what God is most concerned about, a tranquil life here on earth. This goes way beyond that. God didn't send his son into this world to grant us an easy life. This green pasture primarily is God's word. It is what we feed on and what enables us and strengthens us to go through this life. This is God's word. He feeds us with his wonderful word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God, says Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4. And every Sunday we come and we feed and we dwell on green pastures. And see what he says here in verse 2. He makes me lie down. Every Sunday, and I can't think of anything else but the Lord's Day, that when we, as we live in this busy, evil, perverted world, every Sunday God set aside this wonderful day where we come together as a church family and we are being fed with the word, with the means of grace, with his body and blood, as we go to the Lord's table as we did this morning. This is what he's talking about. This is how he promised us to strengthen our faith. And he gives us this pause during the week. He makes us lay down and he gives us a break so that we can refresh ourselves. And sometimes we go too fast and maybe in a direction we shouldn't go. And there are other ways he makes us lay down. Maybe in ways we wouldn't like to lay down, but he brings us back with hardships and sickness and trials. He makes us lay down and he restores our soul. He uses the word, the means of grace, the sacraments, to restore our soul. Not with earthly goods, but with his word. And listen what Luther said. This shepherd feeds them in a green pasture and leads them to fresh water so that they may become quite fed and strong and restored spiritually and physically. As I was reading that, I had to pause and I looked at myself and I was thinking about the last 3 years at seminary, and I became quite fat spiritually and physically. So I am living proof of what David is describing here. It is for his name's sake that he does so. He's faithful to his own name. He's faithful to the title of being a shepherd. He feeds us every week. But he doesn't stop here. He's honest about life and he talks about the difficult phases in our life. And this is a quite different scene. This is when the dark clouds veil the words and we can't quite hear them, at least not clearly. And we can't see Christ, and everything is clouded, and sickness and pain entered your life. You're weak and you're distressed, and maybe even sin entered your life and you are struggling. And many see here more than that, a description of death itself. But again, it can have two layers. We have so many trials and tribulations in our life, and yet there's also death that all of us will face. And nonetheless, this scene in verse 4, he begins with, even though I walk and pass through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. For you are with me, in verse 4. And you see, this "you are with me," this phrase in the original Hebrew, is right in the center of the psalm. There are 26 words before and 26 words after. This is the very center of the psalm. The Lord is with me. I experience horrible terrors of death and hell that I almost despair. I will not be afraid of all the evil and sorrow, for the Lord, my shepherd, is with me. And you see the shadow of the valley of death. A shadow can be scary, but a shadow can't hurt you. And David says, even though I go through that. I pass through the valley. I don't have to be afraid because you are with me. And notice how he changed the proposition. He is now not talking about his shepherd, but he's addressing him directly. And he's saying, and you are with me, and your rod and your staff will comfort me. And it's his staff with which he guides us, and his rod protects us. And he drives away every enemy, and he protects his beloved sheep. He's not building a wall around them. Yes, we will go through the valley, and we will experience all kinds of hardships in our life. But we will never be alone. And you see, he goes and he leads us. He's the first one who went into the shadow, into the valley of shadow of death. He was already there. And David says, I pass through it. This is not my final destination. This is not the end for believers. And I don't have to fear death because, Jesus, you were already there and you conquered it. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And he died on our behalf. Jesus has been here too. And he walked this valley before us. And now he's walking it with us, with his sheep. And so we need not fear, because death is not the end. And Jesus, in John chapter 10, he puts it so beautifully. And he picks up this metaphor of a shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, nobody can snatch us out of Christ's hand. No matter how strong the enemy are that assail you, no matter how much the devil seeks to accuse you, or the world tries to tempt you, or even your own conscience tries to accuse you, nothing can snatch you out of his hand, because he's with you and he protects you. But finally, David, he concludes this psalm with this beautiful scene, with a very fitting scene in verses 5 and 6. He speaks about the table he prepares for us. Think about that. When we come to the Lord's table, it is not we that we prepare that table, but he did. He did everything so that we can now feed on him. Even this morning as we came to the table. And it says here, it is in the presence of my enemies. This is a very odd phrase, but as we think about our lives, and again, I think there are several layers here, but as we think about the church service this morning, we live, as I mentioned earlier, we live in a world full of enemies of the church. There are so many people that hate God and hate the gospel and hate his church, his bride. And they are all around us. But every Sunday we come together and we eat and drink and are fed in the midst of our enemies. And what God does is he reminds us that the table he prepares for us is sufficient. The gift of salvation, his pardon, it sustains us. And we come in and feed together. And of course, this is only a foretaste of what is yet to come. It is a foretaste of the heavenly feast. And this is a picture where he says, he anoints me, my head with oil, my cup overflows. This is a picture of abundance and a heavenly feast. We come into his house not longer as sheep, but as his guests, as his friends, as his bride. And we will be in his presence, and he will cleanse us and anoint us with oil. This is how they would prepare themselves for a feast, for a marriage feast, or a festival. And we can say with David together, my cup overflows. There is no lack. There's abundance. And so David, he thinks about the promises of God, and he ends this verse, ends the psalm in verse 6 and says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful way to end this psalm. This is the end of every believer. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. David looks back, even though he had so many hardships in his life. He fled and he hid in a cave. He stood at the grave of his sons, and his own son rebelled against him. And yet he looks back and he says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. My shepherd was pursuing me, not to condemn me, not to judge me, but to bring me back out of love." And we don't always understand God's path for us. And it's not for us to always understand what God has in store for us, but it is for us to trust Him. It is for us to trust our good shepherd, because He gave Himself for us as a lamb for sinners. He came for sick and needy sheep like you and me. And maybe you wandered off, or you ask yourself, "How can a shepherd ever care for me?" Well, this shepherd does. Christ does. And He proved it on the cross. You know that Psalm 23 is very carefully placed between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Psalm 22 is one of the greatest psalms of lament. And Jesus took the words of Psalm 22 on His own lips when He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 22 is all about the deep night, deep dark night of the soul. It is of a psalm of shattered relation, of forsakenness, and a psalm of the psalmist expresses his abandonment by God. And this psalm comes right before Psalm 23. And then we have Psalm 24 that comes after it. And it is a psalm of great power and might. It's a psalm of great glory. And it is the song of Jesus' ascension. And it says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." How do you get from deep lament from Psalm 22... This cry and weeping and forsakenness to the great Psalm of 24, where the gates of righteousness are thrown open to us? You get there only through the great shepherd in Psalm 23. Because this shepherd is the one who wept in Psalm 22, and he's also the one who's being received in glory in Psalm 24. To open the gates of righteousness to helpless and weak sheep like us. And there are so many more ways we can think about Christ and what He did for us. The New Testament depicts Christ often as the lamb, like a lamb to the slaughter, and He did not open His mouth. He's the shepherd who laid down His life. But I want you to think about the cup that is mentioned here in verse 5. This cup that was once filled with the wrath of God as Jesus was hanging on the cross and he drank it. It was filled to the brim and he drank all of it. The wrath of God, the righteous indignation of His own Father. And then He took the cup and now He fills it with goodness and mercy, with eternal love, and He places it into your hand, and He says, "Sit and drink." This is a psalm that we love for good reason. It is a psalm that tells us just how much Jesus loves us. And it reminds us again what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. Let us pray together. Father, we marvel when we think about your love. We thank you so much for your word that equips us, that strengthens us, that is a green pasture, that is fresh water to us. And we thank you that this psalm speaks so clearly about your Son, our shepherd. And we really lack nothing because we have Christ. Yes, this life entails many hardships and trials, and we experience sometimes hard faces that makes it hard and difficult to see you and to see you care for us. But we are so thankful that you're reminding us through your word that we are never alone, that you are with us, and that we don't have to be afraid, and that one day we will be with you and feast with you as your guests. Give us the grace and strengthen our faith that we can speak like David, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. And we pray all this in his precious name. Amen.